World leaders get together from time to time to make commitments to slow or even reverse climate change. And even if they agree to make great changes, those changes will be local to someone. So efforts continue to address climate change at the local level, too. Ashland is one city working on a climate and energy action plan with a major chance for public input. That comes tomorrow night. That's Tuesday night. Starting at 5:30 at the Ashland Armory, that's the old Armory, the historic Ashland Armory. Two guests who will be there join us right now. Rich Rosenthal is a member of the City Council. Thank you so much for joining us on the exchange.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We also have with us Roxanne Beigel-Coriel, who works in sustainability issues for Southern Oregon University and is also a member of the Climate and Energy Action Plan Ad Hoc Committee. Welcome, Roxanne.
Thank you for having us.
Have you guys come up with a shorthand for saying Climate and Energy Action Plan? Do you call it the SEAP or something?
Oh, I think SEAP is appropriate. We have to have an acronym.
Right. Everybody has to have an acronym, sure. How did the whole process get started, Rich Rosenthal?
Well, actually, the ad hoc committee is the newest piece of this process. Roxanne and her colleagues on the Conservation Commission for several months leading up to the formulation of the committee had pushed the City Council to take action, and the ultimate recommendation was to form a special committee, a mayor-appointed, council-approved committee. And there are 13 members of the committee now, but the genesis of this goes back to the Conservation Commission.
And so, Roxanne, what were you seeking there? What did you want the committee to do? Why did you want a separate committee from, for example, the Conservation Commission?
Well, the Conservation Commission was working on the idea of some kind of a sustainability plan for nearly 10 years now. And we researched a lot of different options, and we went to council with a few, and we weren't really finding the right fit for Ashland. And we decided it really needed to be something that was integrated in the city process. And so we suggested to the city that we work with a consultant to come up with a plan that would include both city operations and the community at large and help us really find the best ways to effectively and efficiently reduce our greenhouse gas emissions while improving the quality of life here in Ashland.
So the city could do things with its own operations to curtail its own emissions, but then you got the rest of the town you want to get involved as well.
That's right. And it's a lot easier to impact the city's operations than it is to educate and inform and empower residents to make changes on their own.
So what has happened so far in the time that the ad hoc committee has been together?
Well, we've hired a consultant who's working with us to develop the plan. And so that's kind of the start here with these three open houses that we're going to have to get some of the public's input on what they'd like to see in our community.
And I noticed that the open houses are divided up into three different areas. So vision tomorrow, strategies in September, plan in December. So have you pretty much just shaped the kinds of the slots that you want the members of the community to fill? I mean, I guess you're setting up a structure for them is what you've done so far?
Yeah, I think the reason that the events are planned that way is because right now we're working on drafting the initial plan. And so we've come up with some potential goals and targets for the community, and we're working with the consultant to address what kind of actions we could take. So really getting the vision from people right now to know what we should build a plan for, what we want our community to look like in 20, 40, 50, 100 years. And then later we'll have some strategies to meet those goals, and then eventually we'll have the plan for people to review and give some feedback on.
Rich Rosenthal, I can imagine in a community like Ashland, there's fairly constant pressure for elected officials to respond to things like climate change.
What I've noticed is that people care in Ashland about this issue, maybe more than the average community. And I think that's going to be great in the sense that it will be manifested in people attending the open houses, attending the committee meetings, attending the city council meetings, and tracking this plan. Right now, it's frustrating to some because we started in September, and a lot of people wanted something done yesterday. Mm-hmm. And in a public process, it involves gathering data, such as what Roxanne described with the consultants. And there was also greenhouse gas inventory. You can't have a plan before you really know how you're, you have the information in front of you. And also the climate trends and analysis from Oregon State, need to have that before you can come up with recommendations. So there are a lot of moving parts to it right now. But the nice thing is starting tomorrow is, people will see the evidence of the public process that's been set up that will hopefully culminate early next year with a recommendation to City Council.
Recommendation for a climate and energy action plan. That's the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange with Rich Rosenthal from the Ashland City Council, Roxanne Beigel-Coriel, who's on the Conservation Commission and is a member of the Climate and Energy Action Plan Ad Hoc Committee, which has a long name. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange. Thoughts about the whole process, the process of a community coming up with a plan for climate change. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You talked, Rich, about inventorying. So do you have a pretty good inventory now of what gets cranked out in the city of Ashland?
Yes, the good company of Eugene, one of the leaders in doing the greenhouse gas inventories, they completed their report on the city of Ashland's greenhouse gas project. What was that, about 2 months ago? And mm-hmm. It was interesting that the city government operations account for only 2% of the greenhouse gases.
Really?
Yes, only 2%. And that was a huge surprise to me. I thought it would be much higher. City buildings, the energy needed to heat and cool buildings and the goods and all the materials related to that. The largest was consumption, which is ironically the hardest one to get your arms around. But the residential goods, the food that we eat, mm-hmm. the things that we buy as residents, the upstream energy production, that's almost half of our greenhouse gases.
Okay, so this wasn't just stuff that gets burned in the city of Ashland. You're talking about backtracking everything, all the climate impacts of mm-hmm. every little activity that goes on in the city.
Yeah, transportation, 17% of greenhouse gases emitted in Ashland are as a result of residents driving. Driving within the city limits or wherever it is that they're going, 17%. Mm-hmm. 27% would be residential energy and commercial energy and industrial. They're very small businesses in Ashland, but 13% is residential energy. So the key for the Climate and Energy Action Plan is to try to come up with measurable actions that people can do voluntarily to reduce their carbon emissions.
Were there some comparisons? Did you have a chance to compare notes with other communities, Roxanne, and see what kinds of numbers they might have come up with, or see communities perhaps that have already gotten a little further down the road with a climate and energy action plan?
Yeah, we didn't look exactly at what our footprint is next to another community's footprint because it varies so much based on the size of the community and the makeup of the community. And we have a very big tourist industry here, which is abnormal for a lot of small communities, and that was somewhat factored into our footprint. And so Ashland's really been doing a lot in terms of trying to address our greenhouse gases over the years without having any kind of a formal plan, but we still have a lot of work that we could do.
I wonder, though, when you're talking, Rich, about consumption being the major issue for greenhouse gas emissions due to the city of Ashland, I mean, how much do you backtrack any product or use of a product? For example, if you're going to look at 70% emissions from vehicles, are you also looking at the energy and emissions created in making that vehicle? When you're looking at the tourist traffic, do you look at all the miles of gas they burned up on the way to Ashland, for example? I mean, how do you decide where to make the cutoffs on these?
One of the great things about the process, how educational this is, you get to learn about the jargon and terminology. It's like a different language, and Roxanne works on this on a daily basis at the university. But there are different scopes, you know, what direct impact, indirect impact. And then, as you mentioned, you know, you're buying something, it wasn't manufactured here, but it was somewhere, and that has an impact far afield. And so, yeah, those are all things that need to be considered. But it's hard on the consumption part. Roxanne can describe how difficult it is to, when you put together a plan, how do you address those things that you don't necessarily have direct control over?
This is like allocating costs, except you're allocating emissions in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah, somewhat like that. Mm-hmm. And it's really challenging with, like Rich said, with consumption, because it's something that we don't have really direct measurements of anyway. We're basing it off of models and assumptions about what people are buying and what people are using. And then we don't really have a way of measuring how much we reduce consumption yet. Maybe in time there will be ways for us to know exactly what our consumption figures are as a community, but for now, the most we can do is really educate people, make them more aware of how much of an impact their choices have, whether it's if they're driving or not, or depending on what they buy or what they eat. The most we can do is educate them and hope that it helps to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions as well as local ones.
I have to believe there have been some surprises along the way for either of you. I mean, when you look at the numbers that were provided out of the good company, did you go, wow, that we didn't expect to see that there, or, gee, that's even higher than I thought, or less than I thought? I mean, what were some of the big surprises?
Well, for me, there was a pleasant surprise, you know, and this is fairly serious stuff, and you see every day, you know, consequences of in our climate, bad news generally. I was surprised that Ashland's community greenhouse gas emissions have decreased by 6% since 2011. That's good news. Of course, one of the reasons why it went down is because we've had quite warmer than average temperatures during the cold weather months that reduce the amount of heating necessary for residents and businesses. So that's one of the big reasons why it went down. But still, Ashland is below the state average in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. That's good, but it's not good enough.
Rich Rosenthal is a member of the Ashland City Council. Roxanne Beigel-Coriel is on the Conservation Commission and is a member of the Climate and Energy Action Plan Ad Hoc Committee. They'll be an open house tomorrow night, May 24th, starting at 5:30 at the Old Ashland Armory on Oak Street to talk about vision, to get some input from the community about the Climate and Energy Action Plan. You can give us some input right here and now at 800-838-3760 over the phone or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So did you end up with a snapshot of Ashland now and a projection for the future at current rates? I mean, given that there are conservation measures going on daily, helped along by people like Roxanne, would Ashland end up in a kind of a steady state situation? The population doesn't grow much here. I can't imagine that's that much of an issue. So over time, is Ashland's footprint going to get smaller anyway?
I think that really depends on personal behaviors, because like we were saying, consumption's a big piece of our footprint, and especially looking at the way that technology is advancing. It's great to be able to go paperless with things like iPhones and iPads, but they also carry a very heavy carbon footprint because of what they're made out of, how far they travel, and what it takes to dispose of them. So that's what we measure when we're talking about consumption, is the full life cycle of a product that we're using. And also looking at fuels and driving and we're really trying to look at the community as a whole and figure out ways that we can make the quality of life here really keep it at what it is and make it better while also giving people opportunities to reduce our footprint.
Do you come up with a set of numbers? I mean, do you have like emissions per person or something like that? I mean, what's the way in which you express what Ashland's current output is and set some targets for what you want it to be in the future?
Well, the target question is part of this process, and it would be premature for the committee, in my opinion, to get into specifics, although we had a general discussion before the public input process starts, you know, May 24th, tomorrow, with the first of the public open houses. I think that that's part of the vision, and in the September open house will be, by that time, the committee, based on the public input, will put together what it is, some options that might work here in Ashland. I think that it would be the wrong thing for us to go into specific numbers as to, well, this is, these are the goals before we've heard from the general public.
But do you have a couple of ranges where you can direct people, like we could do this, or we could do this, or we could do this?
Yeah, we're trying to look at what we can do as goals, whether we do something that's fairly achievable, or if we want to be more aggressive, or do what some communities have done and try to achieve carbon neutrality, which would be having 100% zero net emissions by whatever year we decide. And it's a big decision for the community to make, because it's not something that just the city can do. It takes each and every one of us living here or traveling into Ashland to make actions to help us achieve those goals.
So what will people do who show up tomorrow night end up doing? What will they get a chance to look at, to hear, and to ultimately to, how will they be able to register their own thoughts?
Well, we'll have some information for them about what we've done in the process so far, a little snapshot of what our greenhouse gas inventory is, what our carbon footprint is, and some information about the climate analysis that was done to show what we might be facing in the future here in Ashland based on climate change. And we'll have very a variety of stations that people can go to give their input about what they would like to see in the plan or what they want to see in Ashland's future.
Now, I noticed 4 full months between these first two open houses. So Vision tomorrow night and then way down in September 25th, strategies. So there's going to be a lot of compiling, I guess, of what you bring in tomorrow night.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of data compiling and discussing as the committee what we heard. But people are also always welcome to come to the committee meetings. They're open to the public, and we always have time for public forums so that people can give their input or tell us their stories or voice their opinions and how important this is to them.
When are the committee meetings?
Well, the committee meetings are generally on Wednesdays, either in the afternoon or in the early evening. And the next one will be June 15th at 5:30. Mm-hmm. And those are usually at the community development building in next to Lithia Park in Ashland. But the two key questions, if people are thinking about going, I hope they do. We need more the merrier. The key two questions for Ashlanders are, what is your vision for Ashland in 2050? That's what do you want Ashland to be on this topic? And the second is, what actions should be undertaken? So hey, those two questions, if we can get a lot of feedback from residents, it will really help this process.
Okay. And so can they deliver those to you if they can't make it to the open house tomorrow night? Is there a process for them emailing those to you or going on the web to punch out comments?
Yes, there's a website, City of Ashland website, under it'll be easy to find once you get to the City of Ashland's website. I promise.
Okay. Yeah, it's ashland.or.us/climateplan.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that's what we're linked to right now at that Jeff Exchange site, so we'll make sure that people get access to that. So that is the Climate and Energy Action Plan open house to take in vision from residents in Ashland tomorrow night, May 24th, starting at 5:30 at the historic Ashland Armory. Rich Rosenthal and Roxanne Beigel-Coriel, both from the Climate and Energy Action Plan Ad Hoc Committee, will both be there, and they joined us today in the exchange. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care.